Ladies and gentlemen, suck it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey. I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Well, welcome to Friday afternoon here in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the wet season. It's now from this period on until December 1st. So please try to find a way to keep both cool and dry this weekend as we've got a storm front possibly moving in. And also in the news today, President Barack Hussein Obama is touting how great the recovery has been under his watch. And by the way, 38,000 jobs were added to the workforce last month alone. Woo! Keep that pace going. All right. Bernie and Hillary are tied out in California. What a world we're getting to. This is getting absolutely crazy out there. The land of fruits and nuts are responding in kind. And hey, there's competition between Trump, as it's being touted in the news and the newspapers and all throughout the media. But you know what? It pales in comparison to Laureate University scandal that's just about to break. Hopefully, we'll be talking about that a little later on this afternoon as we go on. But welcome to Friday. I'm Dr. Ken V. Heck, back finally after traipsing all over the countryside and sitting across from the greatest host on radio right now, Mr. Christopher Hart.
Oh, right. Thank you so much. You said something about a storm rolling in. I thought you were talking about me.
Yeah, that can be occasionally, yes.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show, Dr. K. We certainly missed you the last couple of weeks. And once again, we're sad to have heard about your cousin. And I know you.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
You're going to miss him.
I will, definitely. You know, when it hits that close to home and the fact he was only 2 years older than I am, that's just, you know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it does hurt.
It just reminds you that this life is a gift. You
yep.
never know when it's going to expire.
And you kind of gave him one last little gift, too.
I did.
Didn't you?
I did. I was really proud of that. They had him heavily medicated because the pancreatic cancer had taken over really,
it's
really strong.
Aggressive. Yeah, it's
very aggressive and very painful.
Yeah.
So they had him very heavily sedated, but I was able to recall one of the little things that we did in our youth that
probably can't talk about.
Yeah, really, I can't mention it on the radio,
yeah.
But it caused him to give a big chuckle and a big smile, and that was about 15 minutes before they administered the go to sleep cocktail, which allowed him to become restful, and then he eventually passed a day and a half later.
I see.
So thanks for your concerns, and appreciate everybody's prayers out there.
Okay, well, that is Dr. Ken V. Heck and Dr. K. It is Friday, so Dr. K is back here with us today. I, of course, am Christopher Hart. We got Nick LoCicero on the bridge, and you in the audience. And we really do appreciate you being out there. 407-774-8255 is the number, as we do indeed come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And, of course, we'll be here for the full 2 hours tonight, and I hope you can stay with us the whole time. And then Larry Elder, you'll have a little sample of Larry Elder on the airwaves until 7:30 when they'll have the Rays pregame show come on. They'll be up in Minnesota again tonight. Hopefully they'll have a better result than they did last night. Okay, we had a great show last night. Appreciate all of y'all's participation. We even got some after-hours participation in our contest, if you will, and I'll go over those a little bit later. Later on in the show. Real quick, B. Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, will join us live from the Hive over in Hillsborough County. We'll talk some politics with him. And he was sort of prescient. He sent me an email day before, you know, yesterday. And it was about immigration and the violence that a lot of, not all the immigrants, but a lot of the illegal immigrants have brought to this country, and this country allow it to repeat. In other words, we just release them back out into our own country to do it again, and knowing they're here illegally, knowing that they've committed crimes, and then they go on to commit more crimes. Surprise, surprise. And talking about the violence, you know, that these people are spurring at like Trump rallies. And then we had the melee, what I'm going to call the melee in San Jose.
Oh, that's cute.
Yesterday. We want to get to that here in just a few minutes. But first of all, and by the way, Lisa Christman is also going to come in. And, of course, she's got this big party that we're all invited to Sunday afternoon out at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa in Oviedo. We'll be talking a lot more about that, and she'll be telling you a little bit more about what's going to be happening there, and perhaps maybe she'll even have some prizes she'll be giving away. All right. First of all, last night we told you, as the news was breaking, that there were two military aircraft jet crashes, and just a real quick update. We did tell you that one person was killed. We didn't know if it was a pilot or not. It turns out that it was the pilot, a Marine pilot, Jeff Cuss. Captain Jeff Cuss of the Marine Corps, flying one of the Navy Blue Angels. And a lot of people may not be aware that the Marine Corps has a whole bunch of great aviators, pilots, fly helicopters, fly those Ospreys, yeah. That fly jet aircraft. They fly it all.
Sure. Right? Watch the movie The Great Santini.
That's right. You remember that? That was Robert Duvall.
Yes, it was.
That movie? Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, it is. And... well, it's kind of a similar thing, because in that movie, at the end, he dies because he's flying a jet and there's a mechanical problem.
It refuses to eject and makes it flies the plane so it misses the school and crash lands it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have not known where the plane would land, and it caused all kinds of damage.
Right.
So he made that decision to ride it out as long as he could.
And evidently, the Air Force pilot yesterday did something similar, although he was still able to eject. Mm-hmm. But the Navy pilot, or I should say the Marine Corps captain who was piloting that Navy Blue Angel, the report was he was too low to the ground to eject. Mm-hmm. And ended up crashing his aircraft, although I'm sure as he was going down, he was doing everything he could to maneuver that thing away from where it could do any damage. Yep. And would perhaps obviously survive the crash, but he did not. And then we also reported the incident that happened at Fort Hood, tragic training accident where these fine soldiers were in a truck. And you know that, of course, the media is not giving it a lot of play other than, say, on the Weather Channel. But that so-called drought that the global warming had caused in Texas that was never going to end, they can't get it. They wished we had another little taste of it right about now, mm-hmm. because they have been inundated with rain, and there's more coming. And it was a flash flood that caused this truck to turn over. And as of this morning, there were now 5 dead confirmed. There were still 3 missing, I believe, and 4 missing, I'm sorry, and 3 had been rescued from the waters.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize how serious that is in Texas. A friend of mine whose ranch we go hunting on is 2 hours west of Houston. They've had 53 inches of rain so far this year.
Yeah.
And the ground just can't absorb it anymore.
Right.
So it starts to run everything off everywhere. And so it strips the land, number one, and it makes everything impassable, destroys the bridges, destroys the roads, and people are still driving through the water not knowing what's underneath. And that's the scary part.
Not knowing if there's even a road there anymore.
Right, and there's a saying in Texas, how's it go? Anyway, basically, if you see the water, you're supposed to turn around, don't go through.
Right.
You know, that's basically what they say, just don't go through it. You don't know if the road's under there or not, because it rushes by so fast.
Right. And so, once again, I'd like to ask you folks to please hold those soldiers and mention them in your prayers, and hold their families, you know, and mention them in your prayers as well. It's a terrible loss, and all they were doing was training to protect us. That's all.
Yeah.
Right?
Doing what they do.
Doing what they do.
Yeah.
And one of my nephews is not now, but served several years at Fort Hood. He was there, as a matter of fact, the day of the Fort Hood terrorist attack.
Mm.
Yeah. He worked at the hospital, and he was called in, and they were there, you know, for the casualties and everything. And
I bet you he was glad he was there to help.
He was indeed. He was indeed. He is presently over in Africa on a training mission over there, and in a place that's not at all very hospitable, even to its own citizens.
A lot of those places over there.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, I remember what it is. If you can't see the ground, turn around.
That's a good one.
Yep.
That's a good one. All right. We got a caller on the line, and I was going to ask you about this, but I'll let him do the talking.
Okay.
James, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you so much for being out there.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for letting me talk. Dick, hey, I understand you're the one who dumped a whole bunch of Shrine tickets, Shrine Circus tickets on Chris.
Guilty as charged, sir, yes.
I just called in to say thank you.
Well, I'm glad you got them. Did you enjoy the show?
My son, his wife, and their two children with me, and your evil genius worked. We spent more on the concessions than we would have spent on the tickets. So you were successful.
Well, yeah, that's psychologically, that's kind of how it works, you know? If you get in and see a good show, you get all those endorphins going, hey, you know what? I'm hungry. Let's go buy something.
That's right.
Did the kids like the show?
Oh, yeah. Everybody had a different favorite. My son liked the quick change artist. And the little boy, my grandson, liked the rolling the motorcycles in the globe.
Oh yeah, yeah, the globe. Yeah, that's always impressive to watch.
And I had the, I guess you call it an acrobat, the girl in white who went up on the ring and.
Oh, and the Lyra is what that's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really awesome. And actually, to let you know a little bit of a circus secret, she's actually married to the ringmaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
well,
the quick change artist.
Move owner, so it's okay.
Yeah, the quick change artist, Benita and Dulce, they're both married, and they put on a fantastic show. It takes her almost 2 hours to get prepared to do that act. It's pretty cool.
All right.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot. I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, we did, and just wanted to call and say thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Through that, we're able to support the Shrine Hospitals, and we had a meeting on it last night. The circus was well enough attended that we're good. For the rest of the year, the Shrine will be able to operate and continue to send kids to the hospitals. And I tell you, it's appreciated how much the people came out to support us this year. It was awesome.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. And, yeah, thank you for, I wouldn't have put it at such, you dumped the tickets on us. I know where he was coming from,
I knew exactly what he was talking about.
But it was very generous of you and the Shriners to make those tickets available to our listeners and as many as they wanted.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you want to get people into the building, but obviously you want to get the right people in the building, too. You want to get people that, you know, will come in and appreciate and really enjoy it. And we know what the listenership is like here. You know, we've got a great fan base, great listenership, and this one way we can help to reward them for listening, I'm more than happy to do it.
Okay. All right, we got another caller on the line with the, oh, no, not that. No, we got another caller on the line, and we'll get to him as soon as we take the break. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and honored to have Dr. K back in the saddle today.
Sometimes I wonder how I'm going to do. There ain't no cure for the summertime.
All right. Summertime blues.
Oh, yeah.
The job market has got the blues, that's for sure. We found that out today. Dr. K mentioned it in his opening there. A mere 38,000 jobs, quote-unquote, created in the month of May.
That is so sad.
That is, it is pitiful, is what it is, downright pitiful. And
how many of those are actually just summer jobs?
Well, it's probably most.
Yeah.
And amazingly enough, though, of course, the unemployment rate goes down pretty much dramatically from 4.9 to 4.7%.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's only because almost 500,000 people gave up on even looking for a job.
Yeah, they don't count all the real numbers.
Right.
You know, if they did, never mind.
We'd be in real trouble. But, you know, Trump puts it more accurately when he talks about the unemployment rate being at least twice that high. It's more like 4 or 5 times that high. We all know that.
I know it.
And, of course, part of the problem is you can make more on welfare than you can even at a $15 an hour minimum wage job.
And you get more benefits.
And you get more benefits. So what's the point of working,
Yeah, what's the point of working?
Yeah.
When Dr. Bernadette was teaching at one of the schools she was at, that's one of the things that they were doing. They were taking people that were in Section 8 and on welfare, putting them through school to become bookkeepers, to become executive secretaries, that kind of stuff. And near the end of the time of their school, because it was about a 20-week school, 22 weeks, the girls would come in and say, how much am I going to make when I graduate from here? Oh, the heck with that. And then quit school. They were being paid to go to school they're being, their school is being paid for, the books are being paid for that, you know, 20 weeks.
Right.
And then they say, well, I can only make that much when I'm done. I make more on welfare, and they quit.
Yeah. And in a way, you got to say, who can blame them? You know, obviously, you would want to see them to have some sort of aspirations to make more of themselves.
Yeah.
But in this America, you that is held against you if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, George has been holding patiently, so let's go to George right now on the line. George, thank you so much for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Well, happy Friday, guys.
Same to you.
Same to you.
We appreciate that.
By the way, in Florida, it's not the summertime blues, it's the summertime heat.
Which can give you the blues if you're not careful, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I have five reasons to support the American adversaries, but before I get there, I have to apologize for my behavior last week when you let me change my veep pick, and I was asking for a lobster and filet if I win. I was lured by the dark side. I said, "Cam to the third deadly sin, greed."
No. See, when we take you to Cafe Positano, should you win the contest, or whoever does win, we want you to have whatever they have on the menu, and they do have a delicious lobster special. And everybody that gets it really loves it. And believe me, Pasquale's going to want you to have the best.
Lobster okay. ravioli.
Oh, there you go. Take it from a guy now, who has it regularly, George.
Yeah. Now I got to go there for dinner tonight. You realize that. You said it out loud.
We were there last night.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah, Joe, no, don't for 1 second apologize for that. You win this contest, right. You're entitled to every bit of it.
All right, so here's five reasons to listen and support the American adversaries, okay?
I'm interested to hear this.
Number five, they are always respectful, courteous, and patient with their callers, even if some callers have jaw-dropping opinions from a different universe.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to cut you off right there. All right, go ahead.
All right. Number four, Chris has the best laugh in talk radio and never says, "Don't doubt me, a la Rush." All right. Number three, their opinions are always on the right side, not only politically, but in many other aspects of life. Their opinions are backed by logic. So the left, which thinks logic is a 530 word, they never use it.
That's right.
Now, number two.
Yeah.
They always add humor and wit to their opinions. And after all, you can't laugh at this crazy world, and you take everything so serious, you have a long road ahead.
Amen.
And number one, drum roll. There you go. They do a lot for different charities and give of their time. Not to say that other talk show hosts don't do the same, but when you add all the previous mentioned attributes, they are number one by far.
Hey! I just have one question, George.
Shoot.
Where can I find these guys? I want to listen to them. George,
they're right now, they're working on the Albanian online radio. So
I got you. Well, listen, man, I really do appreciate that. You kind of went down a list of our goals and the way we approach the show, and to think that we are achieving them I don't know what to say except thank you so very much. I really do appreciate that.
Hey, George, before you go, do you know how to upset a conservative?
Show him a naked picture of Hillary?
No, I didn't say scare him. I didn't. Oh God! No. If you want to make a conservative upset, you have to lie to them. If you want to make a liberal upset, you tell them the truth.
Oh gosh! Well, George, once again, thank you so very much for that, and thank you very much for having joined the American Adversaries Army. And we look forward to meeting you.
And the best thing, Chris, is the humor and wit in your show. I love it. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, George.
Wow.
That's nice. Got a whole list. I wrote them down.
Yeah.
Yep. I wrote them down.
We're going to have to put that on our brand new website.
There you go.
I tell you, that's what we try to do. We know that we're talking about serious stuff, right?
Yeah.
I've been shooting off my mouth all my life, and I know that it can really you know, get people upset. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is we try to take the edge off by being, you know, a little bit witty, as he put it. And it takes a little bit of the sting out of it. And plus, you know, we don't want to be taking ourselves too seriously. You know, we do that, we need to be taken out and spanked.
Yeah.
So I really do appreciate that.
Very nice.
And thank you. But I get a lot of help. I tell you, couldn't do it without all the help that we get. Like Dr. K, like Mike McBath, like Danny McKnight, like Nick and Jeff and Pete Paquette.
Just and a nice group of people.
Yeah. And, of course, once again, I got to thank Lair Adams because he's the one who put me on this stool right here.
Yeah.
Okay, we love each and every one of you, too, folks. Once again, thank you for listening so much to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Just want to say one last little thing on the heels of what George was saying there. It is an absolute honor and privilege to be able to come in here and do this. I thank, first and foremost, of course, God for giving me what little bit of talent I got, if that's what you want to call it. But I also, of course, thank all the people around me, every one of them, who helps make this show work. And, of course, we thank each and every one of you. It's a very humbling experience to know that people will take time out of their day to listen to something that I got to say. I mean, that is just such an honor and privilege. And we do take that very, very seriously.
Yeah, okay. You have to. You really do.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. And 407-774-8255 is the number. That is Dr. K. Dr. Ken V. Heck is back in the driver's seat today. I am Christopher Hart, and Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. We did have this melee in San Jose yesterday, and it's interesting because we're seeing what I think I've talked a little bit about this, or at least around it on the show before. What we're kind of seeing this year in this election cycle is a bit of a reversal of roles, if you will.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that in this particular instance with this speech that Hillary Clinton gave yesterday in San Diego, which was, hey, I got to give her credit. It was one of the best speeches that she's ever given. Now, having said that, it was obviously delivered from a teleprompter. It was obviously very well rehearsed. She had been rehearsing this. And it was obvious, too, that that she was not that person that was being portrayed yesterday. All right? She is not this competent, really knowledgeable, caring individual. For instance, at one point, she talked about how Trump has never stared down foreign leaders, and I thought for myself for a minute, well, which foreign leader did she ever stare down, right? Like remember the reset with Russia and Putin and all that? And there wasn't no staring down there. And let's see, they didn't stare down Bashar al-Assad. They didn't stare down Muammar Gaddafi. They facilitated a war crime and his murder. So I don't know. You know, there's we could sit here and nitpick the speech, but that's not the point I really want to make. Because, in fact, even though it was one of her better performances, it has been overshadowed and will continue to be overshadowed by what happened in San Jose up the road or down the road.
Down the road.
Yeah, the melee. Because, and here's where I say the roles have been kind of reversed, because her speech was an attempt at an intellectual argument. Okay, now there was a lot of ridicule and stuff in there toward Trump, but it was a real deal attempt by a liberal to give an intellectual argument toward their foreign policy views. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
And what was Trump's response? Entirely emotional.
Yeah.
Entirely an emotional argument, right? She needs to go to jail.
Yeah.
She's afraid to go to jail. She should be in jail. And he keeps using that word jail, jail, jail. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely from the gut and emotional. Who do you think's going to win the argument? We have found out time and time again that it is the emotional argument that tends to carry the day.
Yep.
Right? Especially when you have the deliverer of the intellectual argument, in this case Hillary Clinton, so flawed in her own judgment and experiences, right? And, of course, being held under a legal microscope doesn't help the matter either, right? So the messenger doesn't fit the message on her side. And Trump's, once again, coming at it from the emotional side. And then you have the melee in San Jose, which provides all the appropriate imagery, okay? What happened in San Jose was huge yesterday, and it portends things to come. And this sort of thing is only going to impassion and inflame people who are afraid that the United States of America is slipping away, and they are going to flock toward, if they are not already with, Donald J. Trump. And those images of a woman being attacked, right, and trying to get into a facility where another SOB is inside holding the door shut so she can't get in so the mobsters outside can continue to assault her, right? A pregnant woman being knocked down, a man being bloodied, a hat being burned, well, big deal. But the flag being burned and Mexican flags being held up, that imagery.
Speaks volumes.
It speaks volumes, and I don't care what Hillary said or how she said it, that memory is gone. After tonight, it's gone. They may talk about it a little bit over the weekend, but it's gone. That imagery, though, sticks.
Yep.
It sticks in your mind. It sticks in your craw. And so and then you had this situation yesterday at the Air Force Academy, where there's Barack Obama giving a commencement speech. Now, he's going around telling everybody how wonderful the world is because Barack Obama became the president, right?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
wonderful the economy is, how wonderful our relations are with our foreign partners, and how our adversaries are terrified of us. And lo and behold, one of our elite aircraft falls out of the sky. There's got to be an omen or something in that, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday was not a good day for Barack Obama, nor was it for Hillary Clinton, because they were in their moment, but events outside of their control stole it all away. Stole it all away.
Yeah, and proved what they were saying false.
Indeed, in the process.
Yep.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I was thinking about Hillary's speech yesterday and liking it to when Michael becomes the godfather and all of his enemies disappear while he's in church standing up in front of the altar. I just saw a parallel there. I don't know exactly why, but I saw a parallel.
Sort of Capone-ish when he was out in Miami and the St. Valentine's Day massacre was going on, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's the imagery and the emotion is what carries the day more often than not. And as I said, the role reversal here is that the Democrats, at least in recent history, have had that imagery and emotion on their side.
Yeah.
It has disappeared now this time, at least for now anyway. Things can change. But for now, that has disappeared, and Trump intends to keep it that way.
Apparently.
He is going to continue the emotional argument and continue to drive home those simple emotional images in your mind's eye. Put Hillary in jail. That's where she really belongs.
And he's standing on that. He's standing firm on that. But he's also, if you'll notice, he's growing more and more presidential as this continues on. His mannerisms, the way he's acting, the things that he's doing. With having the plane for the correspondence people to follow him around now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something where, okay, he's turning into a really good presidential candidate.
And he's doing it in subtle ways.
Yes.
So as not to sort of lose the momentum that he has built with the persona that he's already
before. You guys are going to want to follow me here. Have a plane.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
make your reservations on board this and go with me.
He's definitely shown some depth to character, shall we say.
He's actually showing what leadership is.
Yeah.
This is what you do if you want to be a leader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just follows suit. Doing well.
Yep. Okay, we got Sherry on the line. Sherry, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Hi, Chris. How are y'all doing? Hi, Dr. Cass.
Hey, Sherry.
Nice to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Well, we missed you. You don't seem to go away that long.
We keep him tethered.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I get really busy during the summer. It's one of the peak times when I have to travel a lot.
Well, we still miss you. You're so you know everything. You know?
Well, okay.
You know it all. You.
If I don't, I make it up. How's that?
let me just preface this, Chris. Okay, my dad was born in 1918. He joined the Army Air Corps in 1941, and by the end of the war, he was joined the Air Force. They switched it from Army Air Corps mm-hmm. to the Air Force. You remember that?
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and he stayed in the reserves Army of the Air Force reserves until he was 80, until 1982.
Wow.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I could tell you stories about that, but I don't want to get into that right now. And he lost his job here in Orlando. He ended up going to work for the Civil Service for the Army Materiel Command, and you know what that is.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
And his first stint was up in there in Joliet. That's the where all the mobsters live.
Military, yeah, prison, yeah.
Yep.
But then he ended up going over to the Quad Cities, and in that particular time, he spent two tours in Vietnam, 6 months tours, bring supplies to the front lines, and he was over the age of 50.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Part of Air America.
Yeah.
His last tour was in Germany when he retired in 82, and he retired from the Air Force Reserve, but he spent 3 years in Germany, and when he was over there, and the reason I'm bringing this up, and I'll explain it in just a minute, they were the ones that supplied all the materials for all the Navy, the Marines, and everything.
Right, logistical support, right.
Absolutely. And him and I talked a lot about this. My father is an Irish, French, Catholic, Democrat who would never have voted for a Republican. Okay, but what he did is he turned on a dime because of Jimmy Carter.
You can call me Jimmy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
What happened is these the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force needed parts for their planes, and Jimmy Carter didn't want them to spend any money, so they sent them to the airplane graveyards to get parts.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
This is what. If you listen to Trump's speech last night, he said the same thing.
Yes, and we're doing that now.
Doing that now under Jimmy Carter. Do you remember when Jimmy Carter was sitting on a fireside chat?
Yeah, his sweater.
And
yeah,
he turned a heat dam down.
Yeah,
Okay. He didn't want to spend any money, and we've got pilots. I don't care whether you're Hispanic, black, or female, or whatever. And they're out there flying these planes. And, why did we just lose two planes the other day? Were they using reused parts?
You got to wonder. You got to wonder because they are drastically underfunded. The budget for the military, a lot of it is wasted spending because it's a huge bureaucracy. Dr. Kay's talked about that on the show here before.
Oh yeah,
but
president wants to go meet the guy that parachuted out of that plane. I'm going to go meet him, man.
Yeah, well he did. He met with him briefly yesterday and thanked him for his service, but I
haven't heard anything about him going and thanking the wife or the family relatives of the one that died, in Tennessee?
The Marine captain, yes. He probably won't, but that's not going to surprise us, is it? But, yeah, that's right.
What these Democrats do.
Yeah, that's right. They
cut everything.
That's correct. They underfund the military. They take the military for granted. But then when they want to use the military, they better be ready for them, right?
Yeah. And then they hold them accountable for when things go wrong.
Exactly.
That are out of their control.
Right. And they hamstring the military. I mean, the whole story of Mogadishu and Black Hawk Down is because President Clinton decided to send those guys over there with less than what they needed to do the job and do the job right. And not only did it cost us some fine Americans in Rangers and Delta Force guys, but it also cost hundreds, if not thousands, of Somali lives.
Yep.
Did you hear Clinton make a comment about what Trump would do at a 3 o'clock call?
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
And when she did nothing, she just put her hand over her mouth in that Situation Room.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that speech she made yesterday, it's like a little wisp of smoke. It's gone in the wind, but the imagery of what happened in San Jose will stick, and it will be reinforced because I'm afraid more of it is yet to come.
Well, I just wonder when the people of the United States are going to wake up to this bitch.
Listen, we are.
I know.
It's happening.
I know you don't like me saying that word, but that's what she is.
I understand. But we're dealing with it, and God's on the job, okay? So the things will turn out. You watch and see. All right.
Keep the faith, Sherry. Yep. Keep the faith.
That's right. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate you calling. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got another segment in this hour of the show, and then another whole hour to go. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. All right, if you're on the road out there, thank you for tuning in to the American Adversaries. If you're not on the road out there, thank you for tuning in to the American Adversaries. It is Friday, getting ready for the weekend. Had a short week here. Maybe some bad weather on the way, but in the meantime, you got us here today, and of course, we'll be back on Sunday and then Monday as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. We were talking a little bit about the melee in San Jose, and of course, it's interesting. I had a buddy of mine in college, and I haven't seen him for years, but for a while there, we were pretty much inseparable, and he had this favorite saying he used to like to say. It was, how did it go? I may disagree with you, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever
heard
that
saying? It's a standard military. I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend your right for you to say it.
Okay, all right. You will oftentimes hear liberals saying just that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't ever practice it.
I don't know too many that were in the military with me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in San Jose, people were simply being hateful and spiteful, and I don't even think that there was real politics involved in it. These are just people who are looking for a reason to go out and get in a scuffle and make trouble and sort of live act out, if you will, their rage at our society.
Well, it's the Barack Hussein Obama Rahm Emanuel mantra, you know, never let a good
crisis
go to waste, you know.
Well, I'm talking about like many of these so-called protesters protesting.
Well, yeah, they see the Trump nomination as a crisis.
Well, I suppose, but I don't even think a lot of the protesters are looking at it to that depth.
No, they're not. They're just looking for a reason to go out.
Exactly. And they are walking around full of resentment and rage at the world in which we live, and they're looking for a way to express that.
If I was approaching this as a social psychologist, what I would do is I would love to have a helicopter with a camera with, you know, about a 10-mile lens, so I could have the helicopter off in a distance, focused on the crowd from 10 miles away, watching them for, you know, an hour or so, and then watch as a news camera crew rolls up and see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the behavior of the crowd change from being docile to all of a sudden doing all the chants, all the cheers, you know, and yelling and screaming. You know, other than that, then they go back to being, you know, just standing there.
Right. But to finish my point, also, I don't think, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, Trump's to blame or the police are to blame because
blame
they didn't
the victim.
Do enough.
Go right ahead.
Or the what is to blame are the people who have gotten us here. All right. Those would be the people who have been in control in our government. Both administrations, I might add. Mm-hmm. Both sides of the aisle have plenty of guilt to get us into the position that we have today where common thuggery by a bunch of punks is accepted as somehow political behavior.
Well, you know, not just political behavior.
Civil disobedience
civil
or something.
Civil disobedience. I mean, look at how Michael...
But this is not civil disobedience.
Right, but look at how Michael Brown is being so honored with Black Lives Matter. You know, the guy robbed a store before he attacked a policeman and tried to take his gun, and yet all of a sudden society and the police are the bad guys. How does that work?
It works that way because the lie was perpetrated by people who knew better.
Yeah, and the same
and
thing happened.
The lie that he was shot in the back, that yeah, was, yeah. You know, had his hands
and even when the facts come
stuff.
Out, they're not released with the, right. the fervor of the original story. But it's like here in Central Florida with Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. All we ever saw were his 12, 13, and 14-year-old pictures. They didn't dare show what he looked like.
Well,
you know, his 17, 18, 19-year-old, you know, the tattoo pictures and the gang signs and all the other stuff.
That's right.
You know, so they're constantly manipulating you for their point of view. Instead of reporting the news, they're making the
right,
news.
And this is my point. But then they turn around and they try to blame somebody like Donald Trump
right.
for this violence. He is the last person that should be blamed for this violence. He is a response to these types of people, yeah. which is one reason why they're so threatened by him.
Well, yeah, it's you know we it's our fault that we have illegal aliens coming in. You know, if we weren't such a great country, they wouldn't want to come here.
It's
our fault.
It is that America's
got to do something about that.
America's fault first crowd that we're dealing with here. All right, Marshall is on the line. Thanks for holding, Marshall. Appreciate you being out there.
No, thank you, Chris, gentlemen. I've been following everything. I just got out of rehab. I was 2 weeks in rehab. Again, I want to thank you guys for the prayers. God was good to me, and looks like I'm on the healing well, and everything looks good, even though the world's coming apart.
Keep up the daily routines, and you know, talk with your sponsors constantly.
Yeah, I was going to say. By the way, he's talking about the rehab. Real quick, Marshall, rehab that he's talking about is he got a knee replacement.
Okay,
hip replacement. It's not like he's off John Barleycorn or something like that.
That's all right. Hey, it works either way.
All right. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right. Anyway, as you know, I mean, I was watching the rally last night, and I could not believe the police just stood down. They let that poor woman be egged, and she's trying to get into that hotel, and they're not letting her into the hotel.
Yeah. The mayor of San Jose is a big supporter of Hillary Clinton, and what you want to bet that the police were told to mind their own business, basically.
Well, there were only four arrests made.
Right. And there should have been a lot more. And we are seeing that in different cities, the police are handling these situations in different ways. And in some cities, they are prepared for it and they're handling it. And people are not being hurt. They're not fighting with one another. In San Jose, let's just say it looked like they didn't mind there being a bit of a fight going on.
No, they were
I gotta go to a break, but.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant without a road.
Well,
welcome back. Good Friday to you. Dr. Ken Vick sitting on this side of the desk. We've got a lot of things we've talked about so far. We touched on San Jose. We talked about the campaigns a little bit. We talked about everything that's been going on in this wide, wonderful world, and especially ways for you to stay nice and cool and dry this weekend, because it's going to be hot and wet out there. And I'm sitting right across the desk from one of my most favorite hosts that we ever have on radio, Mr. Christopher Hart.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ken Vick. That's right, it's Friday, so Dr. K is with us today, and you are with us as well and can be a part of the show by calling us at 407-774-8255. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, as we come to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, you can always listen to us on that smart device of yours if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app. And, of course, you can always listen to us streaming live at am660theanswer.com, or go to our brand new website, americanadversaries.com, and right there on the home page is a button that says Listen Live. Hit that thing 24/7, and you will pick up whatever is streaming at that time on am660theanswer.com. Like right now, it would be us.
Yeah.
In a little while, it'll be Larry Elder. So
always
give us a listen.
Hear.
And don't forget, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes, or search for us on iTunes. And if you subscribe to us, when we download our shows into the archive, it comes right to you as well. How about that?
That's right. And you can also join the show by calling 407-774-8255. And, hey, you know what we're celebrating today?
What?
230 days left in this presidency.
Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. And I think it's like only 159 or 58 to the election day.
Oh, don't say that. I'll get all loosey-goosey.
All right, speaking of loosey-goosey, we're going to have a big party, and you folks are invited. And we have the hostess here in the studio with us right now. That was Dr. K, of course. I am Christopher Hart, and with us we have right now Lisa Christman. And she is the proprietress of the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. Hey, Lisa, you got a big party.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you so much for inviting me on today.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be here. It is a big celebration.
You got all the decorations up?
Yeah,
you all ready
you know
to go
it.
Over there?
Got the birthday hats, the balloons, and roses, of course. Lots and lots of roses.
Did Marilyn like roses?
That was her, yes, one of her favorite things.
All right, and Marilyn Monroe, if she had lived, maybe she is still alive.
Never know.
I don't know. But Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? No, Wednesday would have been her birthday, June the 1st, and she would have been 90 years old.
90 years old.
And so you're going to celebrate her birthday?
Yes.
And as part of your premier grand opening?
That's right. That's right.
And somehow she's going to be there?
Somehow she is going to be there. Yes. She is she's actually going to, make an appearance. And we get to, be entertained a little bit. And
she's going to ride up in style, I understand.
She's going to ride up in style and cut her beautiful birthday cake. And we can all just participate with that.
You're going to have a vent? Great on the ground for her to stand over. If so, I'll delay my departure Sunday and stop over.
I can tell you, we do have the red carpet out. Yes,
okay.
Definitely
right.
The red carpet will be there.
No fans blowing up though. No. Okay. All right.
You devil, you.
Just
not
purely,
at our place.
Purely
not
medical.
At our place.
That's all. Yeah.
You're gonna have also Frank Sinatra there.
Yes, we'll have some crooners and some.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You got to do
let's
it.
Let's
everyone
put
loves
it this
it.
Way. You don't know who might show up
That's
out
right.
there. That's right.
That's
so,
right.
So you all are invited, and it's in Oviedo. It's real easy to find. If you're going from Winter Park, you just go right out of Loma, right?
That's right.
And it's just a little ways past Dean Road intersection.
Yep.
And if you take the 417, you get off on Aloma, just a little bit past Dean Road, and you're there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 3 to 7.
Yes.
And what's going to be happening other than some interesting folks showing up?
Yep. So we'll do a live entertainment. We'll have some wine tasting. Of course, champagne is always served at our salon and spa location. And some mini services. We'll do giveaways. We'll have lots of. Food to eat, lots of desserts, because Marilyn loved desserts. So we are famous for our desserts at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa in Oviedo.
You know, that's one of the things that I talk about in my psychology classes when we're talking about body image and things like that. No, seriously, people didn't realize, not today anyway, that Marilyn, at her peak, was weighing in about 138 to 145.
Yeah.
And that was considered the standard.
And then in the 60s, when we went to Twiggy, you know, and we're all looking at toothpicks, is when it changed. But, you know, back then, that was what women, you know, were really appreciated for. Now it's, oh, my gosh, we got all these diets and all these other things to be unnatural. And she was probably the most natural person out there.
Yes.
Love that.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And everyone does. And that's why she's so popular. And we're just bringing that back into the community.
Speaking of sweets, you got a special sweet that you're going to have there, right? You were just telling us about it. The chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. So we had our custom made chocolate with some of the, well, I wish I could say the name of this pepper, but it's essentially the ghost pepper is its nickname, with chocolate, and it's called Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot. Okay.
Very apropos.
So, yes. so it's just fun. You know, you just, you know, you have to do a lot of fun things.
All right.
And, just makes it.
So you're gonna have food and beverages. You're gonna have some door prizes. People will be able to sample the services, so to speak.
Yeah. All the festivities. So it's great for the whole family.
Right.
You know, we love having children out there. Our kids are absolutely love coming out there, being pampered, just like you know we do.
So kids and adults, right?
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
All right, absolutely. And once again, this is Sunday from 3 to 7 p.m. You're all invited. There's no charge. Just come on out and enjoy the festivities and get acquainted, so to speak, and try some of that Some Like It Hot chocolate. And then that's chocolate bars, not Some Like It Hot chocolate. Okay, you know what I'm saying here, right? All right, and she's got a special treat for our listeners. If you text MM Radio to 71441. That's MM Radio to 71441. And you were saying you might want to give away a 30-minute massage or two here tonight?
Yeah, we're going to give away a couple tonight. So if you call in to the radio station and really the first, well, let's do three. How about if we do three?
All right.
The first three callers that have the correct answer to what was Marilyn Monroe's original birth name, they can win a 30-minute massage at our beautiful spa.
Okay. So there's the challenge.
And your number, and they have your number here.
Right. That's 407-774-8255. And, of course, we'll have to provide. Nick, you got that information?
you're going to have the first two or all three names? First,
well,
middle, last?
You know,
first. Come on. I mean, let's give them a little bit of a clue.
A challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge.
All right. So what was Marilyn Monroe's birth name? And if you know the answer, three of you will win a free 30-minute massage at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. And the premier grand opening is Sunday. And you can go out Sunday and pick up your certificate, right? And so 407-774-8255 is the number. Give us a call right now with that answer. And in the meantime, once again, it is Sunday from 3 to 7. That's this Sunday now, from 3 to 7. And head on over there. And it's just sort of a trip down nostalgia lane, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, there used to be a lot of places in Orlando where you could kind of go for that sort of nostalgia feel. But they're all gone now. I mean, and this is a great idea.
Yeah,
that it is. And if you own the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album, you've got at least two of the names.
That's right. There you go. Another little hint for you folks out
just
there.
Just trying to help you out, you know.
That's right. Let's take a phone call. He's been patiently waiting. David, thank you for being out there. We appreciate your call here tonight.
All right, David, do you know the answer to the question?
No, but I'm back.
I was going to say, don't say it.
I can tell my lips are sealed. Let me talk to the beautiful woman on the phone.
Good afternoon.
Yes. You know, I was a big fan of Marilyn Monroe. I watched a lot of her films. She was a phenomenal actress and a great singer.
Yes.
Yeah, she was.
She sure was. And I'm going to tell you this too, Chris.
What's that?
Her best dramatic action performance was her last. That was in Giant. The one with Rock Hudson.
Jimmy Dean.
And that's right, and Liz Taylor in 1960.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one where he played that Hudson was an oil baron or something like that, wasn't he?
Yeah. That is correct. And she had a famous song, and it goes like this. It was in the 1950s, and you can go on YouTube, and it's in color, and it goes like this. I go to the golf course, and I play with the golfer, But it did, and I went with the caddies. I danced with Duke and rolled around, but my heart belongs with Daddy.
Good, that's fantastic.
Where's Chuck Barris when you need him?
I need you to come out to my place on Sunday.
Yeah, David.
What are you doing?
I got to make money on baseball. I book a little sport event on the side. I got some associates in Las Vegas. One of my best friends is Dave Tully, the longtime columnist for Las Vegas and for the Daily Racing Forum. So we get in touch a little bit. He runs my bets a little bit at the Bellagio and at the Wynn.
There you go.
I hear you. Well, listen.
Let's talk about what happened about San Jose.
Yeah, okay.
You know what all these people went after? They bet all their money on the Sharks in the NHL playoffs, and they lost all their money because the Penguins are going to sweep those suckers. That's why they were all upset. Isn't it so sad that these people are claiming that Donald Trump is like the crowd, the mayor of that poor city, accusing Donald Trump? He didn't sign it right, but it's Hillary Clinton instead of the crowd by her stupid little speech in San Diego. That's the woman needs a silver pill. And here's the last thing I got to say before you mention about the Trump rally once again. Tuesday night, you never mention it.
Tuesday night, that's right. Tuesday night, the primary watch party.
And you're right, honey, 5145 Orange Avenue.
Beth's Burgers.
Beth's Burgers. Absolutely. It's going to probably around midnight. You're invited. Everybody's going to be there. And, honey, you're going to meet me there, and I will kiss you, and I will give you a rose.
All right. I'll turn that down. I'll be looking for you then, David.
Hey, back to Sunlight Hot, aren't we?
Oh, you meant Lisa. I thought you thought. Oh, okay. Well,
sure.
Roses, too, now.
And there go all your dreams.
All right. Thank you, David. We appreciate the call. And he's that right. That's a watch party for the final. Primary night of the season includes New Jersey, California, and two or three other states.
Primary is coming to a close.
And that will be at Beth's Burgers on South Orange Avenue, 5145. And the earlier primaries will wrap up like New Jersey at 7, but the California primary will wrap up at like 10 o'clock our time. So it'll be a long evening. If you'd like to come by, please come on out and join the folks. And sounds like David's going to be there for sure. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Lisa. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by the Killer Bee himself, B. Brian Blair, coming to us live from the Hive. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries coming at you on FM 105.5.
That's what I got. You turn the heat on me. Some like it hot.
Oh, yeah. I feel the temperature rise right now.
Just watched this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's such a great movie. It really is. And you get to hear her sing it a couple times throughout the movie, so it's nice.
And you get to see her climb down that ladder in the train.
Oh, God, she comes down the ladder in the train.
Oh, yes, okay. Some Like It Hot. If you would like some Like It Hot chocolate, right? You can get some of those chocolate bars at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa starting Sunday.
And to show you how ahead of their time they were, Jack Lemmon's in drag through most of the movie, and so is Tony Curtis.
I know it.
So, they're gender bending back in the 50s. Come on,
He's got a little something for everybody.
That's it, So depending on how you like your hot, there you go. It's throughout the entire movie.
They had it all. Once again, we got Lisa Christman in the studio with us. She has brought the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa to Orlando because actually this is the first franchise of its kind in Florida, right?
Yeah, so actually it's the very, very first franchise in the world. So the other locations are corporate owned, which there's many, but ours is actually the very, very first franchise to open in the whole world, and it happens to be opened in Oviedo, Florida. So it's, Orlando or Central Florida is, it's pretty exciting.
You didn't tell me that your premier grand opening was going to be a world premiere opening.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yes,
so, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
The Marilyn Monroe spas are actually very popular where they're located, and they are in locations around the world. So, we've made it into the 21st century, Dr. K. Or at least some of us have, anyway.
I haven't. No, I'll stay there with her.
Once again, you're all invited to the premier grand opening and celebration of Marilyn Monroe's, would have been her 90th birthday, Wednesday, Sunday from 3 to 7 p.m. And come on out. And did we give away all of those massages, Nick? Did we... Okay, all right, so congratulations to the people. And we would have taken two variations because Marilyn used both of these names.
Yes.
It was Norma Jean Baker.
Right.
And or Norma Jean
Mortensen.
Or Baker Mortensen.
Baker Mortensen,
right.
Yeah, interchangeably because she did use them growing up. She was born in Los Angeles Hospital, in Norma Jean Mortensen. But Mortensen was her dad's name, Baker was her mom's, and when they separated, she ended up using back and forth interchangeably.
Right. So we took either variation.
Either.
And congratulations to Rick, Keith, and Vanessa, because they're going to get needed.
They're going to get pampered.
They're going to get needed where they need to be needed.
Yeah, okay. Will Marilyn be doing the massages?
All right. We got Keith up next. Keith, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there for us.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for your show. And I actually that won one of the massages.
Congratulations. Okay, cool. Congratulations to you.
You're very welcome. I did have a question for your guest, who would probably be an authority on Marilyn Monroe. I've always heard that Hugh Hefner's inaugural issue of Playboy needed no marketing at all because Marilyon Monroe was the first centerfold, which was fortunate because he had no marketing. So is it true that we might not have Playboy if it wasn't for Marilyn Monroe?
Did you understand the question?
I did. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing to ponder, I'm sure. But, I think that's a good question to ponder.
Lisa, do you know the backstory behind that, or you want me to take that one?
Go ahead. I know a little bit about that.
Actually,
but you probably know more.
Hugh Hefner had filed for bankruptcy before the first issue was released.
Yeah.
And then he announced that he was going to get Marilyn Monroe to do the inside cover, and he was able to extend his creditors out for at least another 2 months until the issue was published. And then from that point on, it became the magazine it's become. He also has had to file bankruptcy twice on the magazine since then. But, she did save the inaugural publication and created what it became for the first decade or so.
So
we wouldn't
have
been able to be done without her. That's correct.
Yeah, without Marilyn Monroe and her name recognition, the magazine would not have survived, Keith.
Yeah.
All the more reason to love Marilyn.
Oh, yeah. all the more reason.
Got one of those original editions.
You know how much they're going for?
I was going to say, hang on to treasure that baby.
Yep. They are really...
That would be nice.
They're
collectibles. You not have one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much,
thanks
Keith.
A lot again, guys.
All right, and congratulations. Enjoy the massage.
Yes, we look forward to having you come out.
The massage. All right. John is on the line with us now. John, thank you for calling tonight.
Fellas, how you doing?
Excellent. How about yourself this evening?
Oh, great. We were driving down Aloma, and we go by there every once in a while on our way to Winter Park from Oviedo. And we noticed the Marilyn Monroe Spa there. And,
yes.
Karen, my wife, she's been there. And we thought that I would go ahead and pick up a couple of gift certificates this Sunday. They're kind of belated. They're for my two daughters that are mothers, belated Mother's Day gifts. Hey, I was out of town on Mother's Day. Boy, bad boy. But anyway, I'll be there on Sunday to get a couple of gifts.
Well, awesome. You can make up for that. Don't worry.
That sounds like a splendid idea.
Yes.
Yeah, any birthday gift, Mother's Day gift. On a little side note, I wanted to tell you that, by the end of the summer, I predict that Aubrey Kahn will have lost 20 pounds.
He'll lose
20 pounds.
Oh, okay.
And I will tell you why. Aubrey did my home inspection. He did a fantastic job. He had his assistant, Brian. They were there. They were just so complete. They even provided me with this a recall of a report, which was totally unexpected. he had taken the information on all the appliances and the air conditioner and anything that had a model number and a serial number.
Oh, he's very thorough. But why is he going to lose 20 pounds, though? I'm running out of time.
Saying, if he continues to crawl up into those attic spaces, you know, in the summer heat, he will have trimmed down my 20 pounds.
I
am not being a Katie Couricatious either.
I love it, John. I love it. That was, by the way, he contacted me after the show last night. That would have been his entry yesterday for our street lingo, politically incorrect street lingo.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back. You can take another half hour. I know you can. Thank you for being out there, folks. We really do appreciate you. I am Christopher Hart. It is Friday, so Dr. K is back in the driver's seat today. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Lisa Chrisman's going to stick around for the rest of the show, but don't forget, you are invited to the premier grand opening and celebration of Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. The world's first franchise. So this is a world premiere grand opening, and it's this Sunday, 3 to 7 p.m. It's all free. Come on out and enjoy it. Do like John was going to do. He was going to go down there and get some gift certificates, and Keith won a free massage.
Yes. Yes.
So, going to be a lot of fun to be had this Sunday. And come on out and meet the hostess with the mostess. All right. It is time now for the Killer Bee himself, coming to us live from the Hive. It is Bee Brian Blair. Brian, how are you?
And Dr. K.
Hey.
I'm ready to hear what you got to say. Let's do it, Sonny Pruitt, and let's hear what the American Adversaries out there in Rainbow Land have to say.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Well, it's been a big week since we talked last, and the final primaries are coming up on Tuesday. I think we know, obviously, what's happened on the Republican side. The Democrats still have some sorting out to do, but, whichever way this goes on the Democrat side, it's going to be, looks like it's going to be a nasty campaign season.
It really does, and what gets me is that the liberal sector of the media, which is the mainstream media, has made it like, you know, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, neither one would increase the national debt anymore. I mean, it really bothers me. Between that and Hillary Clinton getting on to Trump about the veterans' money, when it was $5.6 million, and she said she had given thousands of times, and when they audited her, it was what, $1,250,000?
No, it was $105,000.
$105,000, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, being generous.
Yeah, generosity knows no bounds with the Clintons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, the foundation is on a... I forget the name of the organization right now. I should have written it down earlier. It is basically a watchdog organization. Yep. That watches over foundations, these charitable organizations that say they collect money and give it to, you know, good causes. And they're on a watch list for not giving, you know, the appropriate amount of money.
10% is what they're rated at.
Right.
They give 10% of what they take in.
Right. And what they do to try to get around that is they say, oh, no, we give more than that. And then if you look closely in the documents, they consider things such as buying office furniture or travel expenses to be giving to organizations.
Yeah.
In other words, their personal experiences is somehow giving to someone else.
Right. And they also take monies from foreign governments.
Yeah.
For their foundation.
Right.
It's amazing. And that's just another ink stain on her blouse, so to speak, that will be, once everybody's fully funded and it's ready to go head-to-head, I still believe that Trump has more ammunition and more than he ever dreamed of.
Well, you know, I was making the point earlier in the show, and this is kind of role reversal with the Democrats and Republicans, because he's making the emotional pitch. And at least with that speech yesterday, and if you listen to her campaign rhetoric, she's trying to make more the, if you will, intellectual argument as to why he's not qualified, why she is, and she's got all these reasons and everything. And that's kind of role reversal, because usually it's the Democrat side who comes with the emotional pitch. And it seems to me the emotional pitch is oftentimes in politics, just like in professional wrestling, the one that's more effective.
Well, yeah, it's like in a speech the other day, she, it may be the one you're referring to, she mentioned Trump 60-some-odd times. And, she's certainly trying to pick not only on people's emotions, but put lies in people's heads. And they're one after another after another. And she continues to lie until so many people, for some reason, that's the only news they get. They start to believe that, and it's the old Democrat playbook. Spin it enough, and they're going to believe it.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the things that I was referring to when I said this is going to be a rather ugly campaign season is the violence, like we saw what I'm calling the melee in San Jose yesterday. And I don't think a lot of these people are even politically motivated. I think they're just out there. They're full of hate and rage for whatever reason, and they're just out there looking for an opportunity to act it out. And then you have these campaigns that are actively hiring people to instigate this violence.
$16 an hour.
Yeah.
Craig,
isn't that neat?
Craigslist and Facebook.
Yeah, they're paying a dollar more than McDonald's.
A dollar more than the minimum wage in California, yeah.
And I like the way Trump said, look at the bottom of the sign. There's always a website to go to. These aren't professionally made signs. These are professionally made signs. They weren't made in somebody's basement, and that is so obvious. My gosh. I mean, that alone, for somebody to believe that those people are actually put out, down there petitioning out of the emotion of their heart, in the belief in this country, that is such misinformation that it's sad.
Yeah, that is not what our founding fathers had in mind when they devised this adversarial form of government.
No.
In fact, they devised this form of government to try to prevent instances like that, because in fact everyone can have a voice in our government, and you don't need to go out and assault people and tear up things and throw rocks at police and hit police horses upside the head with a brick and stuff. But as I said, this I believe is going to continue. You would think that the Democrats would see that this is not going to benefit them, but somehow I think that they think it will, Brian.
Yeah, I do too. I really think that this is just a page from the old playbook that they've used successfully in so many races, especially the last two. They do have a heck of a ground game, but you're going to see a new type of voter out that hasn't, the ones that have sat out the elections, ones that have just said, oh, my vote doesn't count. They're going to realize that every single vote counts, and they're going to be upset enough with the way this nation is going, from the transgender bathrooms to just all the illegals coming in here and getting benefits paid for at our expenses. It's being promoted and funding the nations around the world and doing the things that Trump's talking about not doing. I mean, it's got to come to a head, and you're going to see those voters be so upset because of these things that I think we're going to have the greatest turnout percentage-wise in this election than we've ever had. Forget about the 10% of the people that say they're going to sit out. I don't believe that they are going to, because they were too active for conservative government, for Trump, for Cruz and for some of the other candidates, not to realize that they have a choice, a cut and clear choice between this country going to be a European socialist country, where we're heading to, or that we're going to be the great country that was founded on the constitutional principles that made us a great country.
Yeah, and Brian, I really believe you're correct that the people are taking a look at the past 8 years and realizing the results of their inaction, and they're not exercising their right to participate in the voting process. And I think it's going to change. I really feel that.
Yeah. I do too, Doc. I really feel the same way.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today as I was driving over here toward the studio. I was thinking, you know, I was thinking like of Trump's speech last night and the San Jose and all this, and I'm thinking, you know, Trump expresses what we are all feeling, and that I can sum up in two words: fed up. Right? We're fed up. We've had enough. And we've had enough of this type of behavior that went on in San Jose yesterday. And I think, Brian, you hit on it right there. It's sort of a new type of voter this type around. It's the fed up voter who's sick and tired of being minimalized, being marginalized, being told that they're discriminatory just because they have differing opinions, and they're basically mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. Mm-hmm.
That's right, and our children are being indoctrinated in the second and third grade into socialistic principles and all these things that even at least half of the Democrats do not like. It's stuff that 75% of America just doesn't agree with, and I really think it's going to backfire on them, and this is going to be a good year. And I just pray that it is. I know Trump will surround himself with great people, and I think he's holding off as long as he can because he wants to have every bit of ammunition in his war chest that Hillary Clinton does. And when she picks her running mate, who knows? It could be Bernie Sanders. That would not be good.
No, yeah, I highly doubt that. I think it's going to be Julian Castro.
Well, I do too, and so does conventional thinking.
Yeah,
but
that's
true. So desperate.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know that she should be in jail right now.
Yeah, no, Trump kept saying it over and over last night. Matter of fact, last Sunday night, I talked about what I called Plan B, and I've mentioned it before, but I sort of brought it out and dusted it off again, and lo and behold, a couple of days later, a guy wrote pretty much the same thing in the Wall Street Journal, and that is that the Democrats are seeing what's going on, that she's having a hard time beating this 72-year-old or 74-year-old socialist communist,
exactly.
and that she could end up losing this thing big, and so I said Plan B stands for Joe Biden with Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren as his running mate, and lo and behold, that became the subject of an article in the Wall Street Journal and a lot of people's discussion this week, a couple of days after we brought it up on our show. But they have got a big problem with Hillary because she has a big problem with the FBI, and there's no way of getting around that. When you got 100 FBI agents snooping around in your backyard, you in big trouble, baby, and you never know what they're going to find.
Yeah,
and that's not going to go away. And politics will not make that go away. A lot of people say, oh, they'll never indict her. I don't know that she'll be indicted, but let me tell you something. There are people in the FBI take their jobs very seriously, and they don't care who they're investigating. They are going to conduct that investigation like an investigation, and they're not going to mess around about it.
Don't be surprised that if she's one of the last-minute pardons that Barack Hussein Obama does when he leaves office.
I would not at all be surprised because that's what she's going to need.
Yep.
She is definitely going to need that. Mark my words. These people, a lot of them in the Justice Department, too. I'm not talking about the political appointees, but a lot of them in the Justice Department actually believe in what they are doing. They believe in law and order. They believe that no person should be, rise above law and order. And that's a big problem for Hillary Clinton and the administration. And they've got to figure out how to deal with it.
Well, and I'm sure behind the scenes that they're planning for what you brought up. Should Biden become the nominee, they're obviously going to paint him with Obama's record and spill out the record that there's been less people. Obama lied so bad to the American public the other day when he said that we have more people at work and wages are higher and all this. We have the least work participation since 1973. I mean, this is incredible.
We covered that at the beginning of the show, B. Amazing. Great minds think like ours, don't they?
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he's going around presenting this fairy tale world that we live in, and it just doesn't exist. And as I said, people are just fed up with this nonsense.
Did you hear what he said about how he could accomplish so much more if the country would just give him 4 more years?
God, yes.
I'd like to give him 4 years at, let's say, Leavenworth or San Quentin. He can have 4 years there. swear.
I just wanted to go away. You know, I'm sorry.
It's like a bad toothache.
It really is. You know, it's an abscess. Just go away.
Indeed. Brian, I want to ask you this, too, because, you know, this thing with Marco Rubio still doesn't really seem to be settled, whether he's going to turn around and run for his Senate seat again. Do you hear any scuttlebutt over there?
The local news says that, you know, he's commented a couple times about how he's pushed, he's got two last names, or two names that he...
Cantez, you're talking about Lopez Cantera, the lieutenant governor. Yeah.
The news that I heard a week ago was that he was not going to run. This was local news, because he had too much trust and belief in Carlos.
Right.
So, and that they were friends and buddies and yada, yada, yada. But again, this is politics.
Yeah.
Politics is not exactly what you see. It's kind of like wrestling, only it's full contact. It's very, very hard. That's why we don't get good people to run for office. I know we've covered this and talked about this, but it's such a shame, because these people become indoctrinated into the system, and they get used to hearing their name in a positive light. And every time the media spanks them, it's like, well, what do I do to get out of this? What do I do to get out of this? If they did something that was right, and they know it was right, and the people are going to never underestimate a great man. One of my mentors, Ralph Hughes, said to me, never underestimate the intelligence of the voter. And I said, okay, Ralph, I appreciate that. And this was a very, very savvy political. He was basically a guy that gave you some good advice, helped you raise some money, learned the system, and he did nothing for himself. He was just a wonderful man.
Very selfless
and
individual.
They villainized him in this town. They villainized him. They had the Ralph Hughes Memorial Courage Award, and a couple of liberals came up and said, we don't want it. One of them won it. They bastardized it, and it's no longer here. But here's a great man, and that's just the power that these people have right now. And if we give them four more years, forget it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the great country that we do know.
Yeah,
no, not at all. So, hey, Bree, I got a question for you. I was just thinking about this. I'd like to get your take on it. Let's go back to your professional wrestling career and see if we can draw a parallel. You know how there's always that one wrestling persona that makes it into the free for all, the 30 man fight in the ring, but nobody really wants him there, but you just can't get rid of him. He's got that kind of persona that just can't be ignored, but he really doesn't belong inside the ring. Who would that be in comparison to Bernie Sanders?
That's a great question. Oh, man, I'm trying to build up the charity organizations that I run. I'm going to offend one guy and then the 30 of his friends.
Well, we know they're just wrestling personas. Those people aren't actually like that.
A curmudgeon socialist that he is, trying to pick out a wrestler. Oh, my God.
That's going to be... Sorry to put you on the spot, but it just...
That's something that one of the heel guys that come on here, all babyface. I'm a good guy. I like people, and I like my country. I like my community. And especially like my wrestling buddies. You know, they... through thick and thin, we've been through many a war. And,
yeah. Oh, I love those guys. As you know, we both worked in the industry. You can't find a nicer group of guys when they're not outside the ring. You know, they're just fantastic people to be with. But just the wrestling persona, it just fits me, you know, that Bernie could be one of those people in the good guy, bad guy mantra, you know, that kind of, he's just on the periphery, but we just can't get him to go away because he's just that good.
I was just with a man who I admire and respect deeply, who's in hospice, Danny Miller. He's set up and he's on his last few days, and he looks better than Bernie.
Bless his heart.
He would love that, because he... is almost 84. He'll be 84 on Sunday, Danny Miller.
Yeah.
And he loved good conservative politics. Mm. And the Constitution of America served in the service believed in this nation, and I wish he could somehow hear this, but I pray for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting on to a more positive thing.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All righty. So I was just thinking, it'd be fun to kind of come up with a wrestling name for Bernie.
Yeah, wow. Well, by next week I'll have one.
Yeah, okay. All right, hey, Brian, thanks for being with us, and thanks for being a part of the American Adversaries. We really appreciate you.
Hey, you guys got it. Thank you very much. You guys have an awesome weekend.
All right, B, we'll
and
see you.
Listeners, too. God bless your listeners. You know, it looks like wrestling. If it wasn't for the fans, we would be nothing. You know,
that's right.
The county commission, if it wasn't for the grateful people that you save lots of money, you know, it wouldn't be possible. And in radio, if it wasn't for the great listeners that support the sponsors, your great American Adversaries radio station, it just wouldn't be what it is without them. So thank you all.
Hey, B, we're going to be over in Tampa for the Shriners International Convention this year in July. So if I get a chance, I'll give you a shout. Maybe we'll go have lunch together.
That'd be awesome.
All right, brother.
That'd be awesome.
All right, okay, we'll talk. Guys. Talk to you next Friday.
See you, B.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
All right, that's
have
B.
A good week.
All right, B. Brian Blair, one half of the Killer Bees tag team WWE champions. That's right. He wrestled in WrestleMania 3. Actually, spilled blood all over Donald and Ivanka Trump. His own blood, accidentally, and Trump actually helped him get medical care. Imagine that. All right, we'll be right back. And that was back in the days when people were freaked out about AIDS.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show and Marilyn Monroe.
I gotta sit back down now, standing in attention there. It's playing my song.
That's right. Dr. K back in the saddle with us. We're so glad to have him back. And, of course, we're so glad to have you folks out there, and we would be so happy if you would join Mir grand opening at their spa. So, Lauren, say something.
Hi. Please come join us at the Marilyn Monroe's 90th birthday party. It'll be so much fun. There'll be cake and cookies and desserts and fun stuff and services and just a bunch of fun stuff. You can't miss it.
Okay, you're next. Say something.
Hi, please come to our spa. It's going to be so fun. Desserts, cake, you... That's your one chance to get pampered.
Oh, look at that.
All right. Now you guys
are my girls.
Lisa, you are aware of the child labor laws here. Right? Just make sure that we're... No
they
child was harmed in the last announcement there.
You guys aren't going to like lick all the icing off the cake first, are you?
And then I offer everybody else a piece,
anything.
Yeah.
What's that?
I can't promise anything.
Yeah, see that? There you go.
Honest answer.
There you go. Gotta love that.
I gotta like that. So, once again, come on out. And where's it gonna be?
Oviedo.
Where?
Oviedo.
And what's the name of the place?
Marilyn Monroe Spa Oviedo.
There you go. Look at that.
Nice.
It's located on Aloma, just east of Dean Road. If you're heading from Winter Park, say, towards Oviedo, down Aloma, or out Aloma, you come to the Dean Road intersection, you go about maybe a quarter mile, a little bit further on the right. And it's a freestanding building, right?
Yep. Plenty of parking.
Plenty of parking.
And what are the lengths of the massages? You can get 30, 45, 60, 90, 80. What is it?
Yep. You can customize as many hours as you want.
Okay. there you go. All right.
The sky's the limit. We're open from 9 to 7 every day.
9 to 7.
Except Mondays we're closed, and then 11 to 7 on Sundays.
Yeah, I just got an 80-minute massage. I like the 80 to 90 minutes.
The 80 to 90 minute is a must.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a must.
All right. Ladies, help us real quick. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
We'll look forward to seeing you and pampering you.
Yes. See you later, everybody.
Bye.
5.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.